And once again, this is the Blob, along with my co-host, King Cow. And you're here for another edition of Vinyl Rhetoric.
Good day, rhetoricians. This is King Cow, sans the Blob. It's been close to a year since we last put out an episode. On March 18th of last year was our last episode to come out. A lot of stuff has happened in the intervening 12 months. Clearly, there was the coronavirus that, if you go back to our Doobie Brothers episode, we talked about and predicted what would happen, and sure enough, everything that we thought would happen happened. I've been dreading doing this episode for a while. As you probably guessed, the Blob passed away. It was August 7th, and when we had stopped recording, they had given him on the Christmas Eve, they had given him 2 weeks to 2 months to live. So we last recorded sometime, I think, in either early March or the end of February, whenever they started doing lockdowns in our state. That's when I stopped going over to his house. When he passed away, they didn't have any service for him until October 24th. So there was a lot of different things going on. Churches weren't open. People are paranoid that they're going to die. Lots of people had to have face masks or else. As a result, I didn't want to do anything in this show until it was everything was completely done and taken care of. So I saw the Blob a few times before he passed away. I didn't want to go over and record, even though I know he did, because I was afraid that me, who was still out working and talking to people in public, would get something and give it to him and have him take a turn for the worse and pass away. And it would be... It would take time away from his family, and I was really conflicted about that. And he said when I explained that, he understood. The last time I saw him was, I think he died on, I think August 7th was a Tuesday, and I saw him on that Sunday. And I already knew, I told him that his time was near. I said, the end is nigh, brother, the end is nigh. And it was just like when my dad passed away, he was pretty much incoherent and eyes would pop open for a little bit, but he really couldn't see. So I sat there and talked to him for a while. I did tell him, If you die and become a ghost, to if you're gonna haunt me, don't be scary. And he didn't do anything. However, when we had the service on Saturday, October 24th, I went, and his wife told me. His wife called me on Tuesday and said, hey, I know I haven't talked to you, but would you be willing to say something? And I said, sure. I mean, yeah, I was planning on saying something. And she said, oh yeah, I've been busy, so I couldn't, you know, I didn't, I was overwhelmed with other things that I didn't get to you earlier. So, and she was apologizing for it. And I thought, well, that's no big deal. I was planning on saying things. There's a few funerals that I've been to that I said things that meant something to me. My dad, my grandmother, my friend's father, my wife's grandparents. I've been touched by these people, and I want to just offer a little solace or good feelings to people that may be upset and not remember or wanted to hear something good about these people. Anyway, I was afraid that my work was not going to let me off. So instead of just risking having a problem and saying, calling in sick or telling them, hey, I'm leaving and I'm not coming back, I just took the day off. So on, I think it was me and my two daughter, well, maybe only one of my daughters and my wife, we went together. Maybe I took her brother. But when we got to the place, of course, stupid me, I'm the only one not wearing a face mask, and I don't really understand because I've been out in the public for the whole time and not wearing a face mask and dealing with people that I know have had the coronavirus or have been or had it or have been in contact with people that had it. And if, you know, if I get it, I get it. If I don't, if I die, I die. That's how I look at it. Anyway, when we were inside the church, my daughter's all, Dad, you're not wearing a face mask. So I put on my Shema, and the pastor came up to me, and he said, I didn't recognize you. I saw you when you came in, and then you put on what's basically a headdress, and all I have is little slits for my eyes. And he came up to me and he told me, he said, hey, you're speaking after Jim. And I had a dumb look on my face. Well, I guess a dumb look in my eyes, which is probably my normal look. And he said, Woody. I'm like, oh, I know who Woody is. And I'd only known him as Woody. And I know his, he told me his first name. It's like, I don't know. It's like we were playing basketball one time, and the guy that opened the gym, his name was Eric, and one of the guys, I called him Eric, and one of the guys that was going all the time, he's like, who's Eric? And he thought it was, because everyone called him Bert, because his name was Bertelson. And so he thought his name was Bert. And so that's how it was with me. I thought his name was Woody. So he came up to me, he said, you're going to speak after him. And then he showed me they had a program, and I was a featured speaker. I'm like, this isn't exactly what I'd planned. I just thought I'd get up and say something. So Carol and Woody got up, and they said some words. And then I got up and said goodbyes, told the stories that or told a couple stories of, you know, how long we'd known each other and when we met, and things that the blob had done that had touched me through, you know, throughout our friendship together. And I got a little choked up. And my sisters, there was all my brothers and sisters, except for one sister, and one brother wasn't there, but his wife was there. And they said, oh, well, I guess you do have feelings. And that did give me a little bit of a chuckle. So then somebody spoke after, and then a couple people came up and said something on mic, and then we went to the Blob's house, and they had a little reception, and then talked to some people. A lot of family members were there. And anyway, he had said at one point that he wanted me to continue doing the show, and I told him I had a couple people that I would be interested in talking with and doing it and seeing, gauging their interest, and they've said yes. And so one of the guys I had talked to during the I think it was in May, he called out of the blue and said, "Hey, remember when you were talking to me about doing this podcast?" I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Yeah, I'm totally in. Want to do that. When can we do it?" And I didn't want to do it while the Blob was still alive. I didn't finally get back to the guy until the beginning of this year. So I'm planning on doing it with him. One guy that listened all the time, the Blob's son-in-law, I talked to him about doing shows with him, and he seemed game for that. I talked to a couple coworkers, and they both seem like they'd like to do it. So I have a feeling I'm gonna be sporadic in episodes until. I mean, last year, I worked the most I've ever worked at my job in 32 plus years. And it was crazy. We were all working lots and lots of hours. And it's kind of slowed down a little bit, and I want to get together with these people and cut some episodes. Hopefully, we can get back to the two episodes a week, Wednesdays and Sundays. Appreciate your feedback. People have still been downloading the show throughout the last 10 months. It had dropped off precipitously in April, May, June, or in July probably, and then at some point, people just started downloading, and it was almost like when we had been recording and releasing shows regularly. I feel a little awkward not having the Blob to play off of or to just talk to. Doing this by myself is, I'm a big man on campus. And I hope that what we present to you will be comparable to what you got with the Blob and myself. I don't think it will be the same, but hopefully it will be entertaining. Any feedback, you could contact us, vinylrhetoric@gmail.com, vinylrhetoric on Facebook, @vinyl_rhetoric on Twitter. Podbean, you can leave a message on the Podbean website. And you can Apple, you can rate us and review us on Apple. We're everywhere. So just, I don't know how often I can find all these, the comments, but anything, any constructive criticism or non-constructive criticism would be appreciated or is appreciated. I was going to say one thing really quick. The Saturday they had his service, then the next day, Sunday night, I had a dream, and it was really, I mean, I've only told one person this dream, a guy I go to lunch with all the time. when I was sometime, and it was such an overwhelming feeling of joy that I had when I woke up. I was like, whoa. The dream basically went, I was in some place. It was like a house, but it was a huge, there's lots and lots of rooms, and the blob was there, and he was standing, and it was weird because he was trying just to look totally normal and not, it's almost as if he was trying not to scare me, and he was just wanted me to see. And in the first place, I opened a door, and then it just opened up into a big baseball stadium. And then I went just to the next door, and it opened up into a football stadium. And it was just, it was overwhelming how it felt. And then the next, I went to, there wasn't a door. It was like an open room that you could walk into, and it was a restaurant, and the lights were low, and it was the kind of thing if you've ever been to Disneyland, and they have the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, and you can eat at the Blue Bayou is the name of the restaurant there, and it's dark, but it's you can see, and it was like that atmosphere, and there was lots and lots of tables. They were all circular, and there was maybe, I don't know, 8 or 10 tables occupied, and I could tell all the tables occupied were a father and a son. They were together, and there was a guy there that was sitting. That was kind of like, I want to say he was on a throne, but it wasn't a throne, and it was Donald Trump, except it wasn't. I know it wasn't Donald Trump, but behind him it was like he was portraying himself as Donald Trump, but I know he wasn't Donald Trump. And I've thought about that recently. I don't know if what exactly it was, that if it was just, it was showing me that it was this is the guy in charge or whatever. Anyway, when I woke up, I could tell that, I mean, I felt that the blob had shown me he was in a place. His son committed suicide, but I think that he was showing me, hey, everything's cool. I'm here with my son, and everything, you know, is going to be all right, you know. And basically, it seemed that he was just saying, hey, don't worry. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that with the 3 or 4 listeners we have. I'm going to play one song. It's a song that I know. I guess I'll say this story real quick. So when we had our very first episode, the blob had an older Apple computer. And when we started recording, I think that he recorded the whole album. I mean, it just was like, it was 9 songs. I think it was 9 songs. And so there was lots, and it just was going on forever. Well, I think when he was trying to back up his computer, he was doing something, it took a dump on him, and he ended up having an issue with some of the files of our recording, so it never got published. Well, that first album was Lynyrd Skynyrd. I want to say it's gold and platinum, but I'm not even sure if that was the actual album. I mean, because I know that's one that I have. Anyway, so I as a tribute to the Blob, I was gonna play one song that I thought really captured the Blob and by his favorite group. So this is King Cow for now, signing off. R.I.P. Blob. R.I.P.
Thank you.
R.I.P. Blob. R.I.P.